2012 was marked by many difficult days as Americans suffered the loss of loved ones in deadly storms, acts of senseless violence, on the battlefields of Afghanistan, and in countless other ways over the past 12 months. And as you remember those near and dear to you as we get ready to end 2012, we also take some time now to remember dozens of famous names and personalities to grace us in arenas ranging from politics to sports and music to the movies. But we begin with one of America's greatest heroes.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Perhaps no moment mesmerized the nation quite like the moon landing in July 1969. With those words and by placing the first human foot on the lunar surface, Neil Armstrong instantly became one of the most famous people in the solar system. His quiet dignity for the next 43 years also inspired a nation. Armstrong died in August following complications from heart surgery. He was 82. 14 years later, Sally Ride accomplished another milestone in the history of our nation's space program, as she became the first American woman in orbit. Sally Ride died in July. She was 61.
I accept your nomination with a full and grateful heart.
George McGovern served heroically in World War II as a bomber pilot and for three terms in the U.S. Senate from South Dakota. But he is best known for his unsuccessful bid for the White House in 1972. McGovern won a contentious party fight for the nomination by strongly opposing the Vietnam War. He lost in a landslide to President Richard Nixon, but remained one of the most respected statesmen on either side of the aisle. George McGovern was 90. Daniel Inouye was synonymous with Hawaii. Despite his own family members suffering discrimination at home for their ancestry, Inouye fought in World War II and earned the Medal of Honor for bravery in a battle that would cost him an arm. Inouye was elected the very first congressman when Hawaii achieved statehood in 1959. He was elected to the Senate in 1962 and served there for nearly 50 years, the second longest-serving member in history. Daniel Inouye died in December at the age of 88.
Drawing a conclusion that Judge Thomas sexually harassed you.
Yes, I am drawing that conclusion. That
well,
is
then
my...
I don't understand.
Pardon me?
Then I don't understand.
Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter first gained fame by authoring the so-called magic bullet theory in the Warren Commission report on the Kennedy assassination. He later spent 30 years in the upper chamber, the first 28 as a Republican and the last two as a Democrat. Specter regularly infuriated lawmakers on both sides of the aisle with his abrasive style, and he was especially prominent in Supreme Court confirmation hearings, including that ardent defense of embattled nominee Clarence Thomas. Specter battled cancer multiple times, finally succumbing in October at the age of 82. A Supreme Court nominee that got no help from Specter was Judge Robert Bork. Once a Solicitor General in the Nixon administration, Bork became a federal judge and was nominated to the High Court by President Reagan in 1987. Senate Democrats would have none of it in a contentious process that led to Bork's rejection, set the stage for bitter confirmation fights to come, and a new word for being defeated for political reasons, Borked. Judge Bork passed away in December. He was 85. Warren Rudman was a maverick senator from New Hampshire who influenced Supreme Court nominations and was a key player in sweeping tax reform legislation during the 1980s. Rudman was 82 when he died in December. Jack Brooks of Texas was a congressional institution, serving 42 years in the House of Representatives. Brooks helped to craft the landmark civil rights legislation of the 1960s and later served as chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. Also a member of John F. Kennedy's ill-fated Dallas motorcade, Brooks died in December at the age of 89. Chuck Colson never held elective office, but he was one of the most loyal lieutenants of embattled President Richard Nixon, and reportedly said he would run over his own mother to re-elect his boss. Colson was eventually sentenced to prison for Watergate-related crimes, but in the meantime changed his life and became a devout evangelical Christian. Upon his release, Colson founded Prison Fellowship Ministries to minister to convicts, and his work won worldwide acclaim. Chuck Colson died in April at the age of 80. Yitzhak Shamir served as Israeli Prime Minister during a time of greatly heightened tension with the Palestinians in the 1980s. The former Likud party leader reached the age of 96 before passing away in June. There were several notable losses among those who cover our day-to-day politics in our news media.
I'm Mike Wallace.
Mike Wallace was the last man any controversial figure wanted to see. Known best for his confrontational interviews for 60 Minutes, Wallace was a CBS institution for decades. Mike Wallace died in April at the age of 93. Tony Blankley cut his teeth in Republican politics before joining the Fourth Estate. Blankley served with House Speaker Newt Gingrich before finding greater fame as a columnist and a panelist on the McLaughlin Group. Blankley lost a battle with cancer in January. He was 63. While Blankley came across as a very refined conservative, Andrew Breitbart had no problem getting in your face and making his points in unconventional ways. That infuriated liberals and delighted conservatives who were begging to fight back against the establishment. Breitbart was a key player in the early success of the Drudge Report, and he subsequently founded several of his own news sites, including Breitbart.com. Andrew Breitbart died suddenly near his home in March. He was only 43 years old. It's hard to imagine anyone more different from Breitbart than Gore Vidal. Much older, much more blue-blooded, and infinitely more liberal, Vidal was a prolific writer of books, articles, and even Broadway plays. He died in July. He was 86. Arthur Ox Sulzberger was an institution that continued his family's leadership in publishing the New York Times. Sulzberger assumed command in 1963 and oversaw three very eventful decades at the Old Gray Lady. Sulzberger was 86 when he died in September. One of the most popular daytime talk show hosts in the 1980s was actor Gary Collins. Our Magazine was a huge hit for much of the decade, and he gained an even higher profile for hosting the Miss America pageant for 9 consecutive years. Gary Collins died in October at age 74. Three titans in the business world also left us in 2012. Carroll Shelby was one of the great auto innovators and designers of the 1960s and beyond. Shelby pioneered the Cobra and Mustang lines, both of which eventually came under the umbrella of the Ford Motor Company. Carroll Shelby was 89 when he died in May. In a much softer industry, Vidal Sassoon also roared to success. The hair care mogul also died in May. He was 84. Zig Ziglar built a booming business teaching others how to find personal and professional success. Ziglar died in November. He was 86. The sports world lost some of its greatest names as well. Joe Paterno prowled the sidelines as head coach of the Penn State Nittany Lions for nearly 46 seasons. He piled up 2 national championships, 4 additional unbeaten seasons, and the most wins ever at a football bowl subdivision school. His legacy was later tarnished and his official win total reduced by the explosive child sex abuse scandal involving longtime assistant Jerry Sandusky. Paterno died of cancer in January. He was 85. Darrell Royal claimed a pair of national championships while leading the devastating wishbone offense at the University of Texas. Coach Royal was 88 when he died in November. Junior Seau was one of the most dominating linebackers of his era, or any era. A powerful combination of size and speed, Seau compiled what is sure to be Hall of Fame numbers with the San Diego Chargers before finishing his career with the Dolphins and Patriots. Seau took his own life in May at age 43. Alex Karras once finished second in the Heisman Trophy balloting, a very rare feat for a defensive player. He vaulted from Iowa to a stellar all-pro career as a defensive lineman with the Detroit Lions. After retirement, Karras had a brief stint as a broadcaster before pursuing an acting career, with his most famous roles coming in the film Blazing Saddles and the TV series Webster. Art Modell made a name for himself in the front office. He bought the Cleveland Browns in 1963 and won a title the next year. Modell forever became a pariah in the city when he moved the team to Baltimore following the 1995 season. The new Baltimore Ravens won the Super Bowl following the 2000 campaign. Art Modell died in September. He was 87. Steve Sable watched the NFL grow from a secondary sport into the biggest game in the country, and he watched it all through a camera. Following in the pioneering footsteps of his father, Sable made NFL films the gold standard for cataloging the great moments in pro football. Sable was 69 when he lost a battle against brain cancer in September. One of the most colorful college football analysts and personalities was Beano Cook. The ESPN fixture died in October. He was 81. In baseball, we bid farewell to the Kid. Hall of Fame catcher Gary Carter was one of the most durable and reliably excellent catchers ever to play the game. And he played a key role in the improbable 1986 New York Mets World Series comeback win. Carter died in February. He was 57. Johnny Pesky was one of the most beloved of the old-time Boston Red Sox, perhaps best known for his home run that just curled inside the right field foul pole to provide the Sox a dramatic victory in 1948. The story turned out to be more legend than fact, but the right field pole at Fenway Park is still known as the Pesky Pole. Johnny Pesky was 93. Two towering figures off the baseball field also died this year. Former American League president Lee McPhail died in November at age 95. One of his biggest headaches was Players Union boss Marvin Miller, the man who ultimately paved the way for free agency and the eye-popping contracts we see today, also died in November. He was also 95. One of the most exciting players in the NBA before Michael Jordan came on the scene was the high-scoring Orlando Woolridge. Injuries and drug use eventually limited his career. Woolridge died of heart trouble in May at age 52. Few college basketball coaches had better tactical minds or better sense of wit than Rick Majerus. A success wherever he went, Majerus reached his greatest heights at Utah, where he led the team to the NCAA title game in 1998. Majerus struggled with weight trouble much of his life. He died of heart failure in December at age 64. Gene Bartow coached a very talented Memphis State team to the 1973 NCAA Finals before running into the juggernaut from UCLA. Bartow coached 36 years at six different schools and piled up 647 career wins. He was 81 when he died of cancer in January. It would be hard to think of a flashier boxer than Hector Macho Camacho. He was one of the dominant middleweight and welterweight fighters of the late 1980s and early 90s, and Camacho actually fought well into his 40s. He died from gunshot wounds in November. He was 50. Two of the great boxing trainers also left us this year. Angelo Dundee trained fighters from George Foreman to Sugar Ray Leonard during his long career, but he is best known as the corner man for the legendary Muhammad Ali. Dundee was 90 when he died in February. Emmanuel Stewart followed a decent boxing career of his own with a legendary training career. Stewart guided the likes of Lennox Lewis and Thomas Hearns, among several other champions. He died in October at the age of 68. Burt Sugar was an encyclopedia of boxing knowledge and could easily enthrall you with his tales from inside and outside the ring. Known for his trademark fedora and cigar, Sugar died in March. He was 75. Chris Economaki did write one encyclopedia on motorsports, but he was best known for his TV broadcasting in the big races for ABC and then CBS. Economaki was 91 when he died in February. That's a look at some of the famous names and faces and personalities that left us in 2012. Please join us for the second half of our look back at those who left us in the past year when we examine those famous folks from the movies, music, television, and more. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting.